Brawny paper towels have always been strong, just like the big lumberjack guy on every roll. But now, Brawny wants to show its softer side. Introducing Brian, the strong, sensitive paper towel.
Brian doesn't just clean up spill. He listens to my problems.
Sure, Brian wears flannel, just like Brawny, but he's lost the mustache and put product in his hair.
Brian will soak up the wet spot and doesn't mind if we cuddle after.
So, for a tough towel that's sturdy yet cares, pick up a roll of Brian.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. When there's lots of hard work to be done, where can you be found? Out back by the loading dock near the dumpster, giving your lazy butt another butt break.
Welcome to Marlboro Country.
That's right, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. Smoke 'em if you got 'em, and you've always got 'em, and you're always smoking 'em.
Hey, boss, I'll be right back.
Snow, rain, freezing cold, or sweltering hot, it doesn't matter to you. You're out there every 10 minutes taking a 9-minute break.
When do you get any work done?
Next time you're at the service counter, unable to get any service because no one's at the counter, walk around back, flick your lighter, and raise it in salute to Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Hey, dude, can I bum one? Cool. I mean Winston.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, and welcome to Thursday, May 13th. Good morning, Kara.
I mean, Sam.
Yes.
My thing was so loud.
Uh-huh.
I'm sounding real country right now. My thing was so loud.
Well,
blow
it was because
drugs.
You didn't do the sound check. You're too busy yakking
no,
here.
No, I did the sound check, but it didn't work on, like, what I'm hearing is louder.
Uh-huh.
You're already starting off with sassy.
Well.
It's going to be a rough day.
Well, you got to focus on what you do, you know.
Oh, man.
You have the rest of the day to screw around.
Technical man. Technical man. Anyway, how
what
are you?
What the hell? I'm good.
Thursday. You seem pretty awake. Are you awake?
I'm awake.
You seem bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I didn't feel awake when I got up this morning,
no?
But somehow
today
got better.
Today was one of those days, and I'm usually up at 6, and then I sleep till about 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but today was one of those days I just knocked out.
Mm.
And then I was waking up. I was like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you have a late night?
Yeah, we had a get-together last night. We had a spaghetti night.
Oh, nice.
It was really good. Yeah.
You guys sure know how to have fun, let me tell you.
You know what? The reality is that there's nothing super special about it. It's just doing it.
Yeah.
And I found out one of my pet peeves are busy people.
Ah.
People that are, like, important and busy piss me off.
Really? So I'm people, like, have to be available for you.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that, you know, there's seasons for things and, you know, you're just going to go through life and there's some stuff, times you need to hunker down and you just can't, you know, you can't be available.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like so many people, one of the biggest things that are missing in this city that are crucial is connection.
Mm.
And I don't mean like connections that can get you, you know, get you somewhere. I mean like real relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why people turn crazy. They turn suicidal. They turn super, you know, self-obsessed. It's because they're not really getting outside of themselves, is what I'm saying. So having just a basic meal with somebody or with some friends on a typical Wednesday night.
It makes you feel good.
It just is basic stuff, but it's the things that people don't do in this town.
Right. So, no, it's about getting together, you know, and that's
fun.
Yeah,
and you know, when you're married, it's different because you have somebody there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have roommates, but still, we like more people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and Sarah and I had a little spat before the
You did?
We did. We get in our little spats and we laugh afterwards. Really? We're like, Sarah's my roommate, and it's like we're like little hens. We're like damn little hens, because you know we come up with this, come up with a game plan of like, oh, we're gonna have a throwdown, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we start deciding what we're gonna make, and inevitably, she jumps in and she starts dominating the. And she does it in a weird kind of way where I'm just exhausted, so I don't even fight her on. I'm like, fine, do it however you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I love cooking, right? So yesterday, I was just having one of those days where you're stressed a bit and you just react. And mm-hmm. I was like, hey, by the way, and I'm on my computer. I was like, by the way, next time we're doing a throwdown, I'm doing it all. You're not even in the kitchen. You could just come in when it's finished.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, yeah. And then she said something and I was like, don't be fucking rude. I even cussed mm-hmm. and I felt, and I never say that like to anybody. But I was like, man, I turned into a demon for a second.
Yeah, there you go, you see?
Yeah, and then I felt really bad.
You need to
go
back and pray a little bit.
No, I do need to pray.
Yeah.
No, but I did. I went up to her afterwards. You know, you're sitting there and you're pissed and you're like, I'm not going to say I'm sorry first. You know how that goes. You're like, I'm not going to say I'm sorry because she's controlling.
Yeah.
And I'm perfect. So I was just sitting there and I really felt, you know, I just kind of got over it and I went over to her. I was like, look, I'm really sorry. I've just been stressed and I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
And then we start laughing how we're fighting over who's going to make the spaghetti.
Yeah. God, you're a mess.
Oh, my point is we can laugh at it, you know.
I think
there's something beautiful about having close friendships where you can, if you get upset with each other, it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
And you guys can recover from it. And I think that's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear you're back and getting along again.
Yeah, like 5 minutes later. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you guys know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Kara, we have a beautiful guest
beautiful
in the studio.
Guest.
And welcome to you. I better raise your microphone so we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, there we go.
And we have Tracy
Great.
In the studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Sure. And you already got comfortable in the place here. You guys were yakking in the front.
Yes, we already bonded.
You
we're
bonded,
already bonded,
huh?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
We had a good bond time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. How do women bond differently than men? Is there a different bonding?
I mean,
of course there is.
We go to the bathroom together more.
I see.
But,
okay.
But just because we're both stand-up comics, that's
yeah.
where we kind of bond, because it's different when you're a female.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is cool. It's cool, kind of refreshing when you meet somebody. You're like, oh, yeah. Do you know that? Oh, my gosh.
Women have no trouble bonding at all.
No, that's not true. There's some catty bitches out there.
Yeah, there is some women that'll stab you.
Mm-hmm.
In
really?
The neck for a gig. There's, you know, certain ones, but I don't want to name names. So there's certain ones that are, you know.
Yeah.
It
so
all
you're
depends.
A comic, right?
Yes.
Wow. How long have you done that?
I'm in my 30s now, and I started when I was 18.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time
ago.
That's
pretty ago. Cool.
A long time.
Yeah. Did you grow up here in L.A.?
No, I'm actually Canadian.
Oh, really?
I love the Canadian.
Wow.
Yeah, I almost lost my accent. I still say like out and about a little bit. And
the
a.
like. Sometimes the like is kind of Irish. Like.
And
like.
R, I guess, I don't know, people make fun of, like, where are you going? I don't know.
Really?
Does that sound?
Yeah, a little Canadian.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Canada, but I've been here for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. What part of Canada?
Nova Scotia.
Oh, really?
Oh, I've heard of it.
That's beautiful there, isn't it?
It's really beautiful. Lots of fishermen and not a lot of, you know, not a lot of comedy clubs there. But that's where I grew up in a big Catholic family in Nova Scotia.
Right.
So.
And that's the eastern part of Canada, right?
Yes. It's eastern Canada.
Right.
Is it up like northeastern or southeastern?
I would say north.
I'm not good with directions.
I would say northeastern. It's pretty up there.
Is it up?
Yeah.
What is it? Here's the thing. When I think of masses, like big land masses that are up north or somewhere, it kind of freaks me out. Like, I think of Russia and it scares me a bit just because it's huge and it's cold and it's up there. Canada kind of gives me that vibe, too. Like, I know there's some gorgeous, beautiful, lush places in Vancouver and Toronto and all that stuff, but way up there or in the prairies when it's all ice and, like, a couple twigs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really nice in the summer, but in the winter, I'm very glad I live here. You know, the...
Yeah.
Last Christmas, I went home and the snow was literally, you know, up to my waist.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I am very short.
Yeah,
so
I can see why you'd want to move, you know, with that kind of weather. So I guess, you know, from talking to people that come from cold places, you never get used to it, huh? You never get used to that cold.
Well, once in a while, I stick my head in my freezer just to remind myself of home. But
that's funny.
I'm just glad to be away from, you know, the Catholics.
Right.
Because it's...
Oh, really?
I don't know. I just had trouble, you know, because we never talked about, you know, sex or anything like that.
Oh, so we're talking like repressed kind of Catholic kind of...
Yeah. Like, I do actually have a Catholic sex tape out. It's just me crying.
Really?
That's funny.
So
that's really funny.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Yeah. I thought of that on the way here.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
that's cool. So you decided you wanted to get into comedy and perform and stuff and
yes.
figured L.A. is a better place to do it.
Pretty much. I was on the show Star Search with Arsenio Hall.
I remember mm-hmm. that one.
And it was in 2003. Uh-huh. I sent a tape from Canada to the Aspen Comedy Festival, and they didn't pick me, and they tossed the tape aside. And then a guy that was working there named Mike Wardlow, he got let go from Aspen, and he brought my tape over to Star Search, and that's how I got on.
Wow. Really? Don't you love stories?
That's
I
cool.
love hearing things like that, like something that just seems like, eh.
Yeah, they took it. I mean, they took it out of the trash can.
That's hysterical.
Brought it over, and I'm in my I'm in my hotel room in Windsor, Ontario, and I get a call. You know, we're calling from Hollywood. We want you to do Star Search, and I was like, is this a prank?
Yeah.
But it really, I've been out here ever since that
That's
happened.
That's awesome. So. Isn't Aspen one of the tougher festivals, and then the Montreal, or is it vice versa?
I think they're both tough.
Like they're both tough, but like so like not getting accepted is not an insult, really. I mean, in a way, right? Because it's just so.
No, it wasn't insulting because it's very prestigious and there's so many Canadians, and I was just a Canadian comic sending a tape.
Yeah.
And but all the Canadian comics, they would make fun of me because they're like, why do you keep sending tapes to Los Angeles and New York? It's nothing's gonna.
Yeah.
No one's gonna look at it, and then someone actually did. So it just
I love that. Do it.
It just takes one person.
Yeah.
That's so.
So that got you on Star Search, right?
Yes, and then I ended up winning, which is
wonderful.
Crazy.
Wow, good for you.
And then,
so did you get any money from that?
I did. I got this was a while ago. I got $200,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the finals was $100,000, and then they said there was a grand finals for another $100,000. And the thing is, I beat Alonzo Bowden and a lot of these big comics, but the thing was, first of all, I didn't know any of the comics because I was Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I do a lot of one-liners, and you only get 90 seconds on Star Search.
So you need to hit it.
Yeah, so I could get, where another comic is trying to tell a story, I could get out.
More
six or seven jokes.
Yeah.
So I just got lucky that I'm not saying I wasn't funny and didn't do well, but I think
that's really interesting though. I've heard it's like laughs per minute for certain things. They want to hear boom, boom, boom. Like, and if you're a storyteller or something, you may have a huge laugh at the end, but there's the build up part, and they really are like, we don't care about all that.
Yeah, because other people were trying to tell stories, so I just
200 grand,
lucky.
Huh?
Yeah, there.
Wow, do you still have any of it left?
No.
No, huh? It's all fucking gone. Have you spent that?
I told you
money?
I took the bus here.
That's hysterical.
Well, it's when you're a comedian, you're used to having no money, and then you have $200,000.
Yeah.
You just
go crazy, huh?
Well, I went a little crazy. I thought I made it. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm a star. I was taking limos everywhere and buying champagne, and now the money's gone, and I took the bus here. So
that's hysterical, though.
Way to
come full circle, though. You'll get it. You'll get it again, girl. You'll get it again because
way to come full circle.
Because no, I think it's cool. It's like you could say you rode to the top and you came back and boom, and now when you do it, when you make it like your huge million, you're gonna be like, oh shit.
Yeah, because I think it's like whatever happens, comedy is bigger than you are, I realized. Mm. Like these comics go on Last Comic Standing and all these shows, but then they're back at the club and they have to... It's just whatever the audience thinks of you, even Seinfeld, just because you use Seinfeld, they have to like your material in the clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, is your favorite doing it at clubs and stuff like that, or...
I
guess that's the only place you can do comedy,
No,
right?
I mean, if you headline or like do your own like theater tours, things like that, or TV.
Well, I'd rather do... be on a television show weekly. No, but I like the clubs because you can say whatever you want.
Right.
Whereas
mm-hmm.
if you do a corporate event, you have to be squeaky clean and...
Right.
Do you do the corporate gigs?
Yeah, sometimes.
I have a friend that makes a killing off of that.
Really?
Part of him sold his soul, let's be honest. But
yeah.
Meaning like you're so neutered that, it's... You're restricted.
I see. You can't say what you
want. And it's
want
not just the profanity. It's also just, he had
the
people...
subject matter.
Yeah, like he had... Yeah. And his stuff is clean. He's a clean comedian. But somebody... They went through his act word for word. He had to change words that suggested anything.
Really?
Yeah, it's very...
That sucks.
It's the same with cruise ships where there's kids running around.
Yeah.
It's like...
But I've seen
a
late night cruise stuff. Late night cruise comedy. Oh. This guy said this joke. This is really bad, but I think it's funny. He's talking about... He's like, do you guys like the food on this ship? Everybody's like, yeah, he's like, I ate so much. Anybody else have to stand up to take a shit this morning? He straight up said that. We were like, ah, ah. I mean, because I thought for sure that you couldn't do that either. But it was like a late night.
Oh, it was late night, so it wasn't, there wasn't
kids running
around.
I thought it was great. Because it was true. I mean, I didn't have to stand up, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I did a gig, you know, you always have these nightmare gigs, but I did a gig, it was outside, and it was in the daytime, and I had to do 45 minutes, and this was in Canada, and there was people jogging by, like, while I was doing
They just need to get a run in front of you?
Yeah, like, they were running, and there was kids and everything, and what happens is, if you don't have squeaky clean material, and you're getting paid to do your 45, you have to, you know, you gotta get through it.
Yeah. Wow. So have you always been funny? I mean, did you always feel that's what you wanted to do? Or?
Well, I was drunk the first time. Honestly, the first time was I was going to university, and there was a comedy contest, and only one woman had ever gone in it. Mm-hmm. And I was dating this guy who ended up breaking up with me, and he said, oh, women aren't funny. Some girl went in that comedy contest, and she didn't do well. And then I decided to get back at him. Mm-hmm. I would...
Wow.
Try it. And then after my first time on stage, I was like, this is what I want to do.
Really?
Mm, that's so great.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
What do you think about that women aren't funny thing?
It bothers me in the sense that after a show, somebody will say to me, oh, I normally don't think women are funny, but you are. And there's so many funny women that I don't understand where that comes from.
Yeah.
I understand, I think. Here's what I think. I think ultimately, women are freaking taught to be pretty, to like be practical or whatever. They're taught to be receptors of comedy, not the generators. So men are like, oh, I want to be with a funny woman, that's personality. No, what you mean is you want to be with a girl that's like, oh my God, you're so funny. You're so funny. Tell me the joke again. And I think that women that are suppressed that side of them. Because I've experienced that growing up and stuff. Well, I didn't really have the traditional mom-dad thing, so I didn't really have somebody teaching me what it should be like to be a girl. So, I mean, I was out there getting made fun of, and I was, like, getting my licks in, like, going down with a joke, you know, in one hand. But I just I didn't have that filter, you know what I mean? Where I think a lot of women are – I think a lot of women are taught to, you know, they're more appearance and driven and, you know, more supporting and more receiving of it. Whereas I think that a lot of women just don't nurture it, basically. I don't think their society tells them not to, right?
I would agree with that. They also say a lot of female comics have a masculine side. I'm not saying lesbian. I'm saying like they have a side where they're a little more. I don't know. They have kind of a. You have to be.
Hey,
tough
I do.
To be a female
I
comic.
Do. I have a crazy kind of. I feel like a female still on stage, but I do. I have a little bit of a man. Some man heat going on.
I'm not saying
I have balls. I'm just saying I've got a little man heat. You know, but I had brothers. I grew up in a really crazy home life. How do you not come out funny? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you've got nasty brothers, a crazy home life, you're going to come out a little jacked up.
Yeah, I was 5 out of 8 kids. So
really?
I never got attention. So I used to stand on my dad's table when he was leaving for work and be like, listen to me. So I think that's when I knew I wanted to be a comedian.
So your parents obviously were not using contraception or anything. 8 kids, that's a lot.
That's what Catholics do. Not all of them, but most of them, right?
Yeah.
They don't believe in
birth control. I actually talk about condoms in my act, and I remember my friend's mom told her not to spend time with me anymore because I...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I talked about
God
condoms.
God forbid,
Crazy Catholic stuff. So, what, I mean, you're not doing the Catholic thing, right? Or are you doing it?
No, not at all.
No. Okay, I mean you're not doing Catholic. So what point were? I mean, did your whole upbringing were you kind of set against it or?
No, I was Catholic growing up. But what's interesting is when I did Star Search, I did all clean material. You know, I had 4 spots that were 90 seconds each. But then if you see my longer set, I have you know some dirty jokes and I talk about sex and you know and so. All these Catholics, a lot of the people in Nova Scotia and people from my family came to
the show.
See my show, and they were very shocked, I guess, because they thought it would be squeaky clean.
Yeah, so, you got to know what you're going into, you know? I mean, these, you know, and so you came from like a repressed home, right, as far as sexuality and things like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? They're thumping like rabbits, popping kids out, and you guys can't talk about sex.
Yeah, we can't.
Isn't that weird? Like, baby number 10 rolls around. The stork just dropped him off today. And you're going, what the hell? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, and so then when I get on stage, that's where I...
I bet that's hysterical though.
Yeah.
Did you rebel during
your teens and stuff like that? I mean, were you like promiscuous?
I was. This is like the Lady Gaga Barbara Walters interview where she's like, do you have sex with women?
She's like, I plead the fifth.
We'll get to that question.
Don't worry, yeah. Sam. You gotta tell us beforehand if there's anything off topic because we go there.
Oh no, I don't mind. I am bi polar. So.
Oh, that's funny.
Who isn't these days?
Right? No, you know what? I wasn't promiscuous back then,
really?
But I was in my. Yeah. I was later on.
Later on, okay. Yeah.
Once I started doing comedy.
You had to catch up and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you feel like? What do you think? I've heard this whole. I've done corporate gigs and comedy club gigs, but I haven't really done the road, right? So, and friends of mine have told me, you know, it's just not good for women. But you know, that's not going to stop me from doing anything. But my point is, as a woman doing the road, do you just? How has that been for you? And. The guy stuff and, you know.
Honestly, it's very lonely. I hate to say this, but as a woman comic, it's very lonely in the sense that a lot of guys, you think that they would, a lot of guys don't hit on you if you're a woman comic, except for maybe other comics.
Oh, really?
So.
What is that?
I don't know. They think you're going to be, maybe they think you're going to be a bitch or something. Am I allowed to say that?
You can fucking say bitch or anything you want.
Look at that, Sam. Did you know how much you just made Sam's day? When he cusses, I think it's cute. Like, I think the way Sam cusses, it's just like, you know,
good.
It's just
well,
kinda,
you better like it, otherwise you'd feel very uncomfortable.
No, but it's just funny because I don't think you're an aggressive, mean guy. So when you start throwing some f bombs around, it's just funny to me.
But it doesn't come from being aggressive. It's just I think it's funny.
No, it is funny. It's just funny coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Back to Tracy. So.
Oh, I brought a date to the club once, and by the time I was done my set, he was gone.
Oh, really? Okay.
So this is the other thing about going on the road. If you go on the road with comics that are cool and like to hang out in the day, it's easier. But sometimes you'll be with comics that don't, they just want to stay in the room or they...
Yeah.
So you end up talking to the maid and you know what I mean? I'm like, want to go for coffee?
Yeah.
I mean, it can be lonely, but, you know, in the past, I dated a couple of comics only because...
Yeah.
You're always with them and there's a bond there. But,
I dated one pretty successful comic who's always on the road and I don't think I'll ever date a comic. I mean, not that you can make that many rules on anybody, but you know, generally, same thing with actors, you know, just it's like a bad disease. Like, just don't go there.
They say don't date anyone with a headshot.
Oh, really?
There you go. Yeah, actually, that's great.
But don't that limits your selection in LA because everybody
okay.
has
I'm
one.
Only wanting
right?
one. I'm only wanting one dude. I don't need, you
I
know,
see.
Boom. Let's, you know, conquer divides and process some elimination. But yeah, I just think there's something that the road does. It's maybe specifically to men. I don't know that it just jacks with their head a bit. Like, you don't have roots. You're gone all the time. There's no consequences. Everything's transient. You know, you get on stage, and I've seen it screw with people. You get on stage, and people love you. They think you're amazing. And you get off stage, and there's, like, a weird mild depression. And then there's also this,
definitely.
You know, it's like, ah. But then there's also this thing of, like, you think everybody's your groupie fan. I'm like, no, dude. This is called compromise. This is called accountability. This is called real relationship. Not that... Even if you just have a friendship with somebody, it's still a real relationship. You have to.
So he thought you were his groupie?
No, he didn't. But when things came to like, hey, you know, like, hey, we're having a little bit of like a hey type moment. I could tell it was like a foreign thing for him because you live kind of solitary. You have the fun. You're on stage. Everybody thinks you're great. Then you go home and you cry yourself to sleep. But you don't have to. You know what I mean? You don't have to actually compromise that much as far as in a like a relationship issue.
You're analyzing it too much.
No, but she's right. She's exactly right. Mm. I mean, that's the thing that you don't want to say as a comedian because people think you must be so much fun to hang out with and so happy, but they don't know that a lot of comics are. There's a reason why they want to get on stage and get attention and get love. So that's the difference is now because I'm, you know, I'm close with my family and I have lots of nice friends. It doesn't, you know, I still love getting on stage, but I don't have to for the attention. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's freeing though. That's good, huh?
Yeah.
It probably makes you even better, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, because I'm not forcing it. But.
Yeah. So back to your childhood, did you go to Catholic school?
This is like turning into
a very intimate
interview. Yes, I.
You did. So you're repressed even more there, right?
Yes.
Did they do the rulers and the knuckle thing and like?
No, nothing like that.
Oh, okay,
I did.
Good.
I had a guy actually. This is off topic. You guys just reminded me of
it's
it.
It's okay.
Though.
We don't have a topic here.
Yeah,
no, I just
we're
had
jumping
a guy,
all over the place.
I'm Scottish and Irish, and I had a boyfriend of mine dress in a kilt for me. I don't know why. I just thought of that as we were talking about Catholic. You know, you
he
think
did
Catholic
it for
school
fun?
Girl. Yeah, he That's... just. I was saying how my friend dressed up for a guy in a Catholic schoolgirl outfit.
Oh, and he did it for you.
Yeah, she tripped over the table and hers was really embarrassing, but then he did it for me in a kilt. So I thought...
Way to flip the script. I love it.
I know.
That's sweet.
It was great.
He's like...
Champagne. Well, it was fiddle music, but...
Or fiddle music, yeah, or like organ or what is it, bagpipe-ish.
Yeah.
That's funny, man. That's a good idea.
So, I mean, could you date during high school or did you... did you have to...
I had a boyfriend for a while in high school.
I see.
But
okay.
We didn't... Oh, the poor guy.
Yeah, what because happened?
I didn't...
You didn't put out?
No. He eventually found another girlfriend. But yeah. But one time... I can't believe I'm telling this story.
No, that's what we do here.
Okay, his mother walked in on us.
Uh-huh.
And we were, you know...
Wow,
making
how embarrassing.
Out, well, a little more than that, but okay. She gave me a lecture after because we were always in the basement. There was a bedroom back there, and she's like, we're going to put hockey equipment in that room. It's too tempting. But she gave me a lecture on how, you know, she's glad that her son is dating me, and, you know, she knows that we didn't go further than that. Anyway, it was just an embarrassing moment for me.
Was she reprimanding you? Or?
Oh, definitely, yes.
So what she say to her son? Because, you know, it takes two to tango. So
I don't know what she said to her son.
Get that little shit in the room, too.
I don't know what she said.
Because I know you were the aggressor, right? You're the one pushing the situation, right?
Well, it was just, you know, when you're a teenager and everything's a big deal, well...
Look, I grew up in screwed up. I saw stuff I shouldn't have saw growing up. So I was sexualized young, meaning I was exposed to stuff. So here's a little kid that's like trying to be an adult, but I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So I had this like little boyfriend on the block, right? Little boyfriend from the block. And we were hanging out, you know, with chalk and stuff. I think I'm pushing, you know, third grade or whatever, fourth grade. And he was sitting down like on the curb. And I just thought this looked cool because I saw it in a movie and I had a screwed up mom. So I sat behind him with my legs spread. Like he's sitting in front of me and like this. So he's lower than me and I'm sitting behind him with, you know, just kind of straddling him, thinking it was like a cool adult move.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't freaking know anything. I'm just doing movie stuff, you know. His mom walks out. She's like, Billy, come on. And he had to leave and I never got to hang out with him again. I was like the dirty little third grader.
Who did you see doing that?
Something in a movie. Like, you know, like you see, like, and it wasn't like a, you know, it's just like you're hanging out with your man and something. It wasn't like a sex move, but it was like, oh, we're a couple move, you know? And I saw it like probably in like Top Gun or something, some movie. And I was in third grade. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that.
So you were boy crazy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I just had really crazy upbringing. So, you know, you start, kids imitate. They don't really know what they're doing specifically. So I imitated a lot of stuff. And I had a crazy sister that was, like, getting it on really young and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm, like, taking notes. Like, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. Thank God I moved out of that house soon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever get caught in the act, though? Like, somebody walking in?
No.
No?
I didn't start having sex till...
No, but I don't mean early. I mean at any time in
like
your life.
Like, making out and stuff?
At any time in your life, did you have sex and somebody walked in?
No, but I was at my...
I know, it's a complicated question.
No, I was at my mom's house, I guess, at, like when I was
you
21.
You look very excited for the answer.
Oh, this is... He lives for this shit. He lives for this. Seriously. I just remember I thought the door was locked. Nobody came in, but then I realized, and we weren't really having sex, we were just making out, but still, right? You don't want your mom to see anything.
Yeah.
You don't want anybody to see anything.
It's no, like, that's true.
You know, but then I remember thinking, oh, shit, that door wasn't locked, like, at any time. And just knowing the fact that somebody could have walked in was enough to creep me out. But no, nothing. What about you?
Did you ever?
Really?
Because I used to date this woman that had kids. You know, she was divorced and everything. And one night, you know, we went in the guest room, we closed the door. And we were just going at it, and suddenly her daughter wakes up and walks in. You know, luckily it was dark in there, so she couldn't see much. But I'm sure she was, like, wondering what the hell. But I was, like, so embarrassed, you know? I mean, it's like...
It's a kid.
You know, what can be more embarrassing?
No, I've seen my dad so many... I've walked in on my dad and my stepmom and his other girlfriend so many times.
At the same time?
Really? No, but different. I'm like, you guys, come on. It's like the freaking 21st century. Get locks on your door. Like, or jimmy it with a chair or something. Like, Put a dresser in front of it. Do it. You know, this should not be happening more than once, if once in my life.
Yeah.
And I mean, one time my dad and his new wife, they were in the bedroom, and you know, you're a kid, you're just like, hey, dad, I needed to talk to him. And I think I knocked and then opened the door.
Oh. What did you see?
I saw them in missionary's position, but then I just, it was the...
Oh my God.
I saw my dad's butt spread.
That
so
is,
I saw,
you gotta be scared for that.
And I saw his butthole.
No.
And I saw his hairy ass.
No.
And I saw my dad's hairy butt, like, going in and, you know, boom, boom, boom. And I was like, and I shut the door and I, like, I went and hid in the closet. I was like, oh shit, I hope they know it wasn't me. So I didn't come out for like a day. I was hoping, like, we just need to, like, shake this off. I mean, honestly, that you don't want to see your dad's butt or anything.
No, you really don't.
I've seen a few things. And I mean, you know, and then I had a stepmom that was loud. I'm like, you got kids. It's freaking 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think people are weird. I think some people are. I don't. I have a hard time believing that they're just so incredibly, they just can't help it. They can't hold it in. I'm sure.
Usually with me, the guys are loud. I don't know what
really?
That is. I don't know.
Guys are loud, really?
I don't know. I told somebody that once, and they said, that's not normal.
No,
that
it's not normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's girly. If a man were to be like, ooh, 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 I'd be like, we got to stop.
No, he's just...
Are you dating somebody right now?
No.
Oh, okay, so this isn't crazy. No. Yeah, spill it, girl. Spill it.
No, they just seem to be, and they usually, you know, they say my name, and they're loud. I'm like, can you bite down on this stick to keep quiet? No, I'm serious. Oh, usually the guys are loud with me, and I told a friend that, and they were like, that's not normal.
Well,
you must
maybe
be
you inspire
good.
That in them, yeah.
Maybe it's just your energy. You're bringing that out of them. Do you like it or do you not like it?
No, because I'm... No, I tell them to be quiet.
Oh, so you're not feeling... I don't
it's like, shut up, bastard.
Yeah, you're kind of like... It's kind of... I think it's kind of more female.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind a little heat or something, but if the dude's, you know, hitting a high C note, I'm going to be stressed. I'm gonna be like, no, that's not what I signed up for. In fact, I need to divorce. So, no. I mean, no, I don't think so. What about you, Sam?
What about me? I don't make any sound at all.
Okay, good.
No.
I mean, what were you going to really be honest after that?
I've become very inhibited in my older age.
Really?
I don't know why. I used to be, like, so liberal sexually and stuff, you know.
Oh, really?
Get into anything in my 20s, 30s. Yeah.
I would think of you as, like, a crazy sexual beast.
Well, I am, but, you know.
No?
But I don't do crazy things.
No, but, I mean, whatever you do you feel free in it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought you meant you felt inhibited, like, insecure.
No, it's just not doing crazy things.
Yeah,
because you know, like,
I think you realize it's not even the fun stuff. It's not fun. Like, we had a girl here that was a guest, and she writes for the LA Weekly, and it's a section called After Dark, and it's about one of the things they talk about, sex position. She's like, half of those things you try out, and you're like, why are we doing this? She's like, really? You have to hold a muscle. You've got to, like, prop yourself up here. It's so much work, and it's nothing natural that you're just like, no. She's like, the basic positions work for a reason.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. I don't know.
I need a spotter to come in and just...
Yeah. Can I get a crane? Can I get a crane or prop... Yeah, I don't... Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I remember when I was really young, and for the first time I heard of 69, I thought that even every position has a number, you know? Maybe there's like a book with numbers, you know?
Yeah.
It was like 69.
Yeah.
So that was funny, you know? But
I've been 90.
90.
I don't know what 90.
I've been a 70.2. It's a little off, and you try to reach. Anyway, that's so interesting, man.
Yeah.
Well,
I know.
Where are you now with the dating thing? Are we dating anybody? You're not dating anybody, or
I hate to admit this, but I'm on Match.com.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, that's nothing to be ashamed of.
I've been hitting up. I was doing. I did it about a year ago, like a Christian dating site, which is even can be weirder actually. So if you're looking for thrill. I'm just playing. But they periodically send me like the free, hey, come back and try us out. So occasionally I'll go and check the inventory and see what's going on. So I'm putting that out there so you can feel normal.
Okay.
Match
well,
is probably not normal.
I just my friend convinced me to do it, and then I convinced my roommate to go on there, and she fell in love.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sweet.
She wants to marry him.
Happens.
I mean,
yeah. See, I met my wife through J-Date, you know.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And we got married, obviously, and everything, you know. So, yeah, don't lose hope. I mean, Match.com is, you know, I hear it's like a meat market and stuff, but I'm sure you're going to find someone you like, you know. Maybe go more into specialized sites.
I bet you have great stories, because God knows I do.
Well, I had one guy talk about his ex the whole time and complain about the menu.
Really?
Yeah, can he you said just, it was too expensive.
Can you just say, you know what, do you call it out and go, look, I just, let's, you know,
No, I've actually...
You're very
actually,
gracious.
One guy wanted me to go shopping after dinner with him, and he was buying headphones.
Yeah.
Like the kind you, the really
yeah.
good ones for the plane.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I said, you know, I should have had these during our date.
Oh, you did? I love
I
it.
Did.
It blocks
what did
out all
say?
The noise.
What did he say?
He said, ouch. Like, I think it upset him a little bit.
Which
but,
is what you're going for, right?
Yeah, and I had one guy say that I should sleep with him after he bought me lunch.
Yeah.
Because he bought me lunch, and I was like, this yeah. isn't even worth
it. Well, that makes sense, you know?
Job.
He wants a return for his investment.
Man, people are just gross, huh?
No, a lot of them say they just go on there because they want sex. I don't
right.
think a lot of them are looking for marriage
A friend
or
of mine said that Match.com is like an F-fest,
yeah.
you know? Just get, like he said, that's kind of like it's harder probably to weed out. If you're,
yeah.
like, really wanting to be married, you know, and people are...
Well, my profile just says, do you want to hang out while I'm in... My profile might come across...
Oh, well, that's probably what they think, then. It says, I want to just hang out?
It said, I want... I got to change it. I think it said, I want to hang out with someone while I'm in L.A., so...
Oh, should... yeah, they're thinking
Yeah, they're thinking you're looking for a fling or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, they're totally,
you know?
They're totally
Maybe
thinking...
Maybe that's what it is.
That's what they think. Because the okay. guys that do that, they're really, that's
now,
what I meant.
If you want commitment, you got to write it down there, you know, and you got to let people
well,
know.
Well, I think actually I have a bit of a fear of commitment.
Do you really?
But wouldn't you rather be with a man that wants to be committed and then you can put the brakes on it?
Yeah,
versus
rather
than like a man that's
no,
like,
you're right. You're right.
That's what, because when I was on it, my profile was like, Jesus loves you! Celibacy! Hey! And I made it so annoying that it would, and it still didn't work. I mean, because guys see a picture and they're like, you know, they don't care. They don't care. They're just, I'm like, come on, guys, read the profile. But I overdid it to kind of eliminate some of that traffic, that like, you know, mm-hmm. the horny
oh,
traffic.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
It's got to
yeah.
be interesting to be a woman on those dating sites, you know?
It's
you
weird.
Must get like hit on a lot. And
well, I mean,
like
I went
it,
to
know?
A Christian site, and there's still guys that aren't Christians that are trying.
Right.
They just want to pick up a Christian girl, mm-hmm. like it's a fetish or something.
Okay.
I mean, one guy, he was cool, and we were chatting, like, I mean, chatting, and I felt like I was talking to a guy who wasn't a Christian. I felt like I was assuming he was because we were on the same site and that it was something he really believed and he practiced, not just, hey, you know, it's a cultural thing. But I thought maybe if you're going to go out of your way to go on a dating site and it's going to be a Christian-specific dating site, I kind of assumed that this guy was really signed up and walking with Jesus and that's his thing, right? That's what I was thinking. Right.
But I think women go on J-Date that aren't Jewish.
Right.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm learning that the guys do that. And even though he was like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but...
Yeah.
It's just kind of the same. I think it was more like a fetishy kind of thing. Because guys like that hard to get. I'm like, no, this isn't a game, man. This is my life. But they're like, they think it's like a, oh, yeah, well, blah, blah, blah.
They think you're really innocent?
Yeah, I'm not innocent. I'm just saying, like, this is kind of where the direction I'm striving to go in. And I think that they think it's like this cat and mouse game. I'm like, no, it's not a game to turn
no
you on.
No means no. That's what you're saying.
No means no. No.
It's hard for people to understand.
Mace.
Some men don't understand that. They
yeah.
don't understand
well,
the word.
I just, the reason why I'm on there, I think, is because I live in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all, I didn't know it was all gay men. I'm serious because I, you know, I came from Canada. It's the first place I moved to. And
why did you
I
pick there? Just because it's where, that's where all the action is?
And... I just liked the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I had never been to LA except to do the Star Search thing. So then I, mm-hmm. it took me a while to discover that it was gay town,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, wow, these guys are playing hard to get, you know what I mean?
That's funny.
Like seriously, I didn't know. And then now it's tough because I'm either on the road or a lot of my, mm-hmm. you know, guy friends are gay. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool neighborhood. I used to live over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the Grove is where I used to live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, are you in that area? Or are you...
I actually live near Crazy Girls Strip Club, if you know.
Oh, well, I know where that is, off of La Cienega?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I don't want to brag, but...
No. I had a friend in from out of town. She came to visit, and Claire, my roommate now, and she came to visit, and she put on this really bright orange, like, mini dress. And we were going to go to the club. We're going to go to the club. Clubbing. LA clubbing. Like, we're going to get our club on, right? Which I wasn't doing that at all. I was just, like, trying to, you know, eat my ramen noodles and get through life, you know? And so I'm, like, staple gunning it together, put my fake lashes on. I'm like, I can't handle it. I can't handle tourist time right now. I'm just trying. Because it's different when you live here and you're trying to make it versus you come here and you have fun. And then your friend comes in. She's like, I love life. Let's have fun. And you're like, ah. So
yes,
we're in our high heels. My roommate has on the shortest
mini dress that's bright orange, and she's this blonde, straight off the boat from Texas, right? We are looking for a place to throw down and just have fun. Anyway, we go down that we go to a restaurant on that strip area on La Cienega, and we get out from where we park the car, and we're right by the strip club, and the people are honking like crazy because they think that my roommate's like,
oh, they think she's a stripper.
Yeah. And we're like, why is everybody honking? What's going on? And probably it's your bright orange skirt dress plus the crazy horse behind us, or, you know.
But all the women are wearing just not, I mean, the they're not wearing pants.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you, did you guys see the latest Christina Aguilera video?
No.
To get off topic.
No. What is it? How is it?
You didn't see it?
Are you talking about, Lady Gaga? Or Christina?
No. Christina Aguilera has a brand new video called, she has a brand new video where she's doing things similar to Lady Gaga. There's about 10 different things in the video that are similar to.
Oh, okay. I bet there's a feud going on.
Well, you got to see it.
But she's got
very promiscuous. It's crazy. Like, she's kissing women and she's pouring stuff on herself and then she's jumping on a man. It's like,
I'm over it. I like Lady Gaga because she's so, I like that she goes there, but it's still humorous to me, and I think she's talented, you know, but I'm kind of over the shock value, kind of like, I'm a girl, I can do whatever the hell I want, naked. You can't stop me.
I just feel like, I mean, I know I'm only in my 30s, but I feel like I'm getting old because I'm like, shouldn't she put a sweater on? Isn't she cold?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just not wearing pants.
I heard a girl say, she's like, when women get insecure, they get naked.
Really?
I heard a lady say that, and I thought, you know, it's kind of true.
Really?
You know? Like, it's just like, I need more. I need more. What's the next thing to take me to the next level? Oh, forget talent. That's over. Nobody's into talent anymore. Boom.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I can make you feel really insecure if you want.
That can make you feel insecure? Yeah, yeah, I can. But I think it's kind of just pushing the envelope, and people push it so much they tear it, right? They just, it's just kind of like, well, there's no mystery anymore. There's no discovery. It's like, you know, it's just like.
I hope it doesn't happen with female comics where we all have to wear, you know.
Yeah.
Don't wear, you know, wear bodysuits.
I mean, I actually did go out on stage one time dressed up with fishnets, and then I had an old costume on, and it's like a bodysuit. So I actually did do that, but not for shock value. It was part of my act. Like, I was dressed up as a. Anyway, you'll have to see it. But it was funny. It was funny to kind of offset.
It was that Crazy Girls, wasn't it? Crazy Girls.
Girl, I just got off work. You know, I was like, I'm going to make this shit work. I'm going to make this fur work. No, I looked. I said I was a costume. It was around Halloween. I was like, I'm a costume cocktail. I was part Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I was part last year's costume, which was a sexy strawberry, and I, you know, recycled. It's good for the environment.
Yeah.
And then I was part. I just saw the movie Where the Wild Things Are, so I had like all this fur everywhere. I was like, I'm wearing Where the Wild Things Are, because it was funny in the moment. My point. Did you guys see Where the Wild Things Are?
No.
Was
that
about
those creatures and stuff?
Yeah. It's kind of about the inner child. I feel like, in a way, and so I was like, I actually wore that outfit to the premiere of Where the Wild Things Are. You know, butt cheeks.
Such a dork sometimes.
I do. I had like furry boots on. I looked like I was kind of nomadic, but I also looked a little bit, you know, I looked a little bit like I escaped, you know, bipolar going on. And I was like, wild things are, eating my popcorn, going everywhere, you know, fishnets. And I was like, yeah, my inner child wore fishnets.
Yeah.
You know, so, but no, it was fun. But yeah, no, I'm pretty generally pretty clothed, but I did go there. Yeah. I did go there. I pushed the envelope.
So what are L.A. men like to you? I mean, generally, can you make some generalizations? Because most women say that L.A. men are really, like,
well, there's
right?
one that I was seeing. There's one guy that I was seeing. We both like to fantasize. Like, he would pretend I was Angelina Jolie. And I would pretend I was in a committed relationship. All right, that's one of my jokes. But
I love that.
I don't know. I've only been with a couple, but they did not with a couple. With actually on my Facebook status, it says, I'm going to do Sam and Kara. That's all it says.
I love that.
So people might take that the wrong way.
Yeah.
But no, I did the friend with benefits thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I fell in love with him, but he didn't.
Oh, didn't reciprocate.
No.
I see. That's tough. Huh?
That was, and that went on for a few years before
really?
I got
it. Doesn't it?
It really went on for 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
I kept thinking he's going to...
Do you feel like, looking back, I mean, I was in a relationship with somebody that just doesn't ever want to get married. And so it was like, we're monogamous, but there's like one of these things where it's like, you know what? You know, again, he's a road comic. It's one of those things where it's like, this is never going to turn out the way I want it to. Yeah. And that kind of went on for a few years, actually, too.
But I just wanted this guy to take me to dinner. You know what I mean?
Really? Never has, huh?
Not that I know of.
Really?
No. I mean, maybe once.
Wow.
Usually I'd just be like, come on over, and he'd bring a sub and a bag of chips. And
Wow. Yeah, no. That's what I had. I had a revelation. Yeah. I was like, man, I'm in my youth. I'm not giving this guy my freaking youth.
Yeah.
That's kind of what's like.
Oh, that's smart.
No, I was thinking about it. I was like, no, he doesn't deserve this.
That's really good.
Freaking loser. Lose my phone number. Hey, why haven't you called me? No, like that, how that goes. I haven't heard from you in a while. You told me to like, whatever. It was rhetorical.
Yeah. Well, I always do the delete thing. Like this guy was trying to get over him, so I'd delete his number because I wouldn't know it off by heart. But then I'd, you know, then you're scrambling trying to find it again or trying to ask someone if they have it.
Well, it's funny because I actually never saved this person's number with their name, but now I've memorized it.
Oh, see. Yeah,
on accident because I've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
I hear you, girl. It's okay.
So it's been, what I'm trying to say is it's been a lonely time.
It's been a while.
Let's just say it's been a while.
Yeah. Well, you got to be out there, you know? You gotta start talking to people like Kira does.
No, I do.
No, she's not antisocial. She's happy.
No,
girl.
I didn't say she was, you know?
No, no,
you...
I'm sure he's not listening, but I was just saying Kira met one of my friends who, you know, announced to me that he was, you know,
what?
Really, really liked her. And
really?
Yeah.
And that's what a coincidence that you guys met and you were talking about the same
guy, right?
Yeah,
maybe it was fate. I don't know. But I think a lot of times when you're really friendly, people might take it the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah, that happens.
And they do, especially with Kira, They do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm not like licking my lips or anything when I meet them and like touching myself, but I just think people are deprived. I think people are emotionally connected. I think people are love deprived.
Right.
And so you give somebody a little bit of attention and they just go, you know, and I understand.
Yeah, because it is unusual, you know. I mean, people don't do that. You know, women don't just walk up to men and start talking.
I never just walk up. I'm like in line or I'm sitting next to somebody and we just start chatting. I'm just open. And that's part of the things you get. And I have another friend that's like that, Sarah. It's like, you know, you attract everything. When you're open, you're going to attract great people. You're going to attract the crazies. You're going to attract the weird people. And it's just kind of like, I'm okay with all of it because it's a living life, I think. You know, it's just, I think a lot of people just don't live life. They're just like, I'm on a mission. I got to get this coffee. I got to get out of here. And nobody's paying attention to the people around them. They're walking over people. They're not trying to connect. And I think that's why we're here, you know?
Probably. No, I do that too. I talk to everyone, you know, the people at Starbucks know my life story kind of thing. Like but I think it's because I travel and I'm alone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, people don't understand why I do it sometimes, but you know.
Think it should be the way it should be because I think that that's like, you know, people, and I think personally people's priorities are really jacked up. And I know what it's like when you're busy, you're tunnel vision, you got to get there, you got to get there. But I think it's a challenge to try not to trample on people when you need to get somewhere. And I'm gonna have really good friends of mine that I've not seen in a long time because they're just too busy, and we're talking good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something wrong with that, and I'm not like crying in my sleep because I love them and I know that they're doing their thing, but part of me's kind of like, you know, come on guys, what really matters in life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or
really
people
matters?
Are all on this on their cell phone even when they're at the grocery store or anything. They can't even, you know, I think that's the rudest thing. I mean, I would never do that because that person is, you know, everybody's present. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, I always say, hey, how are you doing?
My phone's ringing right now, actually. No, I'm just hey, just hold that thought, okay? Or actually keep it going. I'll catch up. No, I'm just lying.
No, but what is if all these people that are on the phone now, what's so important that everybody's,
why are you
honestly
so precious, right? Why are you just so damn, the world is depending on you right now. The fabric of,
that's what I'm saying. What's the emergency that where everyone's on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
I think that robs people of life because where you are is the most important place you need to be. I think in that moment, like whoever is in front of your face that you're talking to, it should be the most important moment you're having. If you're constantly being pulled in different directions, you're never really living. You're always living in the future. Oh, I got to get here. Blah, 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 or this person needs me. It's like, no. Well, and this is another thing. And this is another thing. People that call you up and they give you crap about, you never answer your phone when I call. I'm like, have I called you back? Are we talking right now? Be happy. Second of all, it's arrogant to think, the age of cell phones, right? It's arrogant to think that people should have the right to a direct red phone to you when they want to talk to you, that you should be available.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'll get to you when I get to
but
you.
But I think nobody is answering their phone. It's all text now.
That too.
Have you ever done
text
the texting?
Happens a lot.
Have you ever done, either of you ever done the what's it called? The naughty texting?
Sexting.
Oh, is that what it's called? Sexting?
Or sex messaging?
Right. No, I haven't. I don't type fast enough on text. You know, I couldn't possibly. It would take too long.
It would take too long.
And you need two hands, too. That doesn't work.
I actually need
an extra hand there.
I actually tried it, you know. I mean, tried it. What does that mean? I was in a relationship, but it was one of those things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Got it. No, I've actually, the audience has already heard about it. I talked about it.
I talked about it
and how I'm like, oh, you know, you regret it. I guess you regret it. I don't know. My thumbs regret it. No, I don't know. I don't really know what the point of it is, honestly.
Or sending. See, I'm kind of shy, like I said, most of the time. But I decided to be bold and send a photo, and I sent it to the wrong person. So that
did that really happen for real?
Yeah.
Who did it end up going to?
I sent it to I believe it was a comedy club. A booker or owner.
Really?
Yeah.
And what, like a
I
nude
get booked
picture?
There all the time now. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. But
so that was a nude picture, right?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't nude.
Just like a pretty suggestive picture.
It was just a suggestive picture.
I see. Uh-huh. Okay.
So what did they call you back, or did the people?
Well, I asked them, you know, not to open it. He said he deleted it, but he might have opened it.
After he jerked off to it a couple times.
So basically, yeah. Yeah.
As long as I get booked at that club, I don't care. No.
That's a good way, girl. That's a good way. No.
Just no. Do like a mask. So in that sense, I do regret it.
It's crazy to have compromising pictures of yourself anywhere, you know, because one day it's going to surface, you know, and you got to be careful with that stuff. You know, I mean, they have all these teenagers texting each other and sending pictures and topless pictures and stuff, and then it ends up in the whole school, you know, everybody has the picture. So that's pretty sad stuff, you know?
Miley Cyrus, she had some photos that were just her being kind of like sexy, like with her bra on or things like that, and she's like not even 18.
Yeah.
And she was texting them?
I don't know what she was thinking, but she posted them or somebody posted them, and like even though, you know, that was a while ago, they're still out there. I was looking something up and those photos came up, and I was like, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't really come up there on the sidebar of, like, the website I was on. I was like, what?
Right. What was the website?
Yeah. I know, I sound like a pedophile. honestly, I think it was, like, some celebrity type thing, like a Perez Hilton or something I was looking up.
Oh, okay.
But I don't even know if it was Perez Hilton, but it was something I was looking up about something else. And I was like, what? Yeah, like, she did that Vanity Fair spread with Anne Leibovitz. And it was her like in the bed sheet with like the after
with
the
her make, dad
the
too?
Next no yeah. Her dad was there but didn't say
no
anything.
There was a couple pictures with her dad,
really?
Like really like romantic, spooky, creepy pictures.
See, that's creepy. That's Jessica Simpson is close with her dad, it seems.
Really?
Like a little too close. I don't know. Yeah.
I think that if you've got a 15-year-old daughter and you're letting her do stuff like that, you need to be somebody needs to sit you down. And you know you need to be you need to have the money sign slapped out of your you know your eyes. Mm-hmm. And somebody needs to go, this is a girl. A 15-year-old's not going to go, hey, I got a great idea for a spread. Why don't I look like I just had sex? I know I'm only 15, but let's go with it, okay? And I have a sheet, and let's do it with like kind of a blue lighting to where it looks a little whorish, and have like you know crack makeup out. I think it'd be so hot and edgy. I mean, what 15-year-old thinks that way?
I don't know. Have you seen her in interviews?
Yeah.
She seems like she would say that. I
really?
Mean,
you'd be amazed.
You gotta watch interviews.
Anne Leibovitz. It was her. It was Anne Leibovitz.
Right. I'm
it was
sure
her.
She's the one that directed
well, she
it.
Take, well,
yeah.
She's the one that comes up with the concept. And
right.
She does that. I mean, I'm sure there's some input, but I mean, my point is like this is a photographer that's using a 15-year-old as her muse, and you know, there's no respect for her youth. There's no respect for the fact that this isn't age appropriate, and it's like all those lines and those boundaries just don't matter when money's involved or when it's about you know shock value or whatever. And I find it totally disgusting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, she is a performer. She is famous.
She's and, 15, so
yeah,
my
so
nieces
I'm sure
love
mature.
Her. Like, they absolutely really? Love her, so it's kind of...
It's hard when that's the demographic, right?
Well, it's hard when, like, some of the dance moves aren't... I don't know. Some of the dance moves aren't meant for, you know, like, 8-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
Suggestive dance moves. Like, my niece is the most amazing dancer I've ever seen. She can do all the
cool stuff
moves, but it's like... She has to realize how impressionable she is, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, the problem with the pop star thing is that they start young, so they get, which is one of the biggest markets, is that tween kind of market. They start young, they get those listeners, fans, and followers, mm-hmm. and then they transition into their skanky adult life, right? And these kids that are into them are still 8 years old.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the weird part about it. It's like, yeah, I get that you're going to grow up, and I get that you want to move on to, you know, being, you know, you got to get your burnout time in, but it's like you're still, you're dragging along all these babies, basically. And that's the weird thing. It's different when you come out and you're demographic like Lady Gaga. I mean, hers is wide, but she came out older, you know, she's in her 20s, she was ripe 24, 23 years old, but that's older for pop stardom. And it was a bigger, broader audience, and it wasn't like necessarily your 8 year olds that I'm sure they know of her, but it wasn't like that wasn't her targeted audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I have more respect for that versus,
I think,
like,
her targeted audience is drag queens.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Honestly.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly.
But she loves them. They love her.
Yeah.
You know, she's just like, they've given her the most love, most respect.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Do you find her attractive?
Who are we talking about?
Lady Gaga.
Oh, she's okay. You know, she's okay. I mean, not my type or anything, and I think she's way out there, but I like her as a performer. I think,
yeah.
I mean, I admire the fact that she was able to, in today's crowded, very competitive field, to still stand out and come out with her own original style. You mm-hmm. know, it's sort of like Madonna did.
Yeah.
And when she came on the scene. But what amazes me the most is how successful she is, you know? And she came out of nowhere and become really big.
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of women admire her for the things she's doing, and you know, and you know, what can I say? But so I'm not crazy about her music. I only know that Poker Face song, and
that's,
I don't know
one.
Anything else.
Ma. I love the opening.
Her latest video has her in jail with.
I love it.
Have you seen it?
It's so dirty good.
She's with a lot of women in jail.
It's just, I think,
yeah, that's
I think
what
she's,
I heard,
I think
right?
she's like a comedian. I think some of that stuff is hysterical. She comes out with these glasses on, these sunglasses
mm-hmm.
that are all cigarettes.
Really?
And they're like smoking. And she's trying to give like a tough, gritty prison look. I think that's hysterical.
Really?
She has, instead of curlers, she's got these big Coke cans in her hair.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I just think she's funny.
Yeah.
I don't take her serious, you know? Like,
she's like an art piece.
I'd love to just spend a day in her brain, you know?
I don't know.
It would be strange.
Yeah. Well, Tracy?
On that note, I want to spend a day in Lady Gaga.
We want to thank you so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun for sure.
Thank you very much.
Of course. And are you going to be performing anywhere? You want to plug website, performance?
I have a new comedy album on iTunes called Tracy McDonald Always Scared. You know how Chris
uh-huh.
Rock is never scared?
Mine's right.
always scared. And uh-huh. My website is tracymcdonald.net.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Awesome. And that's McDonald M-A-C, right?
M-A-C, just like Norm.
Right.
Yes.
Like Norm.
I love it.
Well, you're very funny. You're a lot
very
of fun.
Very awesome. Everybody check
Thank
her
you
out.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking the bus all the way here. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
I wouldn't have done it, but, you know. But not for Kira, anyway. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. We should have our guests here, the next guest, that is, and we'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk. You'll see 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
What you do is a good deed. Working from your Lines are open on Sam and Karen in the Morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and our guests are in the studio. Yay. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
We have the crew of Combat Radio right here, and that show is at 12 on Channel 2 every Thursday.
Right.
So we didn't make you make an extra trip.
No.
Which was considerate of me.
That is considerate. We would have made it, but that is considerate.
I love how you just make sure that they got that. I love how you just gave yourself. And
which
by the way,
was considerate of me.
I love that. That's you know, people should do more. No, they shouldn't. Not in this town. They're already doing it.
So we have Ethan Dettmeyer and we have Eric McEnroth here, and you guys have been with us for a while, and you have a great show.
I mean, a very popular show.
You guys have such fans, you know, they're always active on Facebook and pushing your show and everything, so that's cool.
Fanatical. It's a little...
We have crazy fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it good.
I get very interesting emails. Some say I'm a fascist. Some say I'm a socialist. Some say it's great. It just depends.
They like when we get Ethan riled up and he starts going off. I think the fans really like that.
Yeah.
I've seen emails that actually testify that to you to try and push
buttons. Yeah, they want me to, you know, push his buttons and get him going.
But I'm a relaxed, easygoing guy. I don't know what this hostility is about.
Yeah, sure you are.
But so update us, I mean, for those that don't know about Combat Radio.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
What's
the
show
guns?
Like?
Are we guns?
Well, when
shooters?
We know what we're doing, we'll let you know. We have
no. So what is it like? Is it war stuff? I'm just going off the word combat. Help me out. Is it metaphorical?
No, it's verbal combat. If anything, it's mostly most of our guests are, you know, of rock. First of all, Sam, thank you for inviting us down.
Of course. I love you guys. You
thank
know
you, both of you, actually.
Yeah, I had everything to do with it. And you should know how considerate I am right now.
You're allowing them to sit here, so that's a step.
What am I going
to
do? Hey, ow! I'm over this.
No, it's very gracious of you to have us in. But the reality is our show basically features more of a rock and roll, actually.
We have a wide
entertainment
variety.
Yeah, we've had everything from like members of Congress to the members of Iron Maiden to the cast of Predator.
Yeah, you guys get a lot of celebrities, which is cool. How do you get to know all of them?
You know, it just depends on where the AA meeting's at and where you do your time when the cops pick you up. That's usually...
That makes a lot of sense. Out in L.A., that's a good connect, right?
Yeah. It is a good connect. Yeah. It's a rather regular connection. It's pretty safe. You know, everyone's in the same boat, you know?
Yeah. I thought about joining one just to, you know, give somebody my headshot.
You should. In fact, I can recommend a couple of good ones. There's a good one in Studio City not too far from here. I'm sure we actually have some hosts that are part of it already.
I can spot the AA groups. I'm not in AA, but I mean, I could spot the groups. They used to wait tables and they'd all come in late at night and they don't, you know, obviously no alcohol. They hang out forever.
Coffee and chain smoking.
Yeah, exactly. They're cool people though.
But yeah. I can't see you in AA when you said you guys got drunk last night.
Well, I refuse to be a part of AA. I mean, I'm still in the denial phase of my alcoholism. I just will not become a part
of
it.
So he just goes there to meet people.
I hate structured groups in any way. I'm the guy that loiters at the reception after it all breaks up. Like, who's that guy? I never see him in the meeting.
That's funny.
Well, most of the people that you deal with, you need a drink.
Yes.
So where did you guys go throw down last night?
Well, we were actually, where'd you go first?
I was at the Food and Wine Festival at California Adventure.
Oh, that's a great place to go get shit-faced. Why didn't you say anything to me?
Well, now I did. Well, we wanted to save it for the radio.
Yeah, but now it's the day after. Why didn't you tell me about that?
It was just spur of the moment. My friends were in town, and they were already in
my
the park.
Friends.
And they were like, hey, you want to come over to the Food and Wine Festival? I was like, yeah, sure. So
but
we
don't call that Ethan guy.
All sorts of wines and beers.
It sounds fabulous. I wish I could have been a part of it. What a jackass. He does not even call me.
Well, these were my high profile.
These were my high profile friends.
So I didn't want to, you know.
Did you guys do like the swirling, you sniff it, you drink
no,
it?
No, I just
no.
drink.
You just like, yeah, I'll take it.
I don't even use a glass.
There you go. You just walk around. Can you refill my box, please?
Yes, exactly.
I'm like, is this bottle spoken for? Is it all right if I just walk around?
Yeah. And it was nice because it was dead. There was nobody there.
Really?
So
is it still going on or is it over?
Yeah, it's till May 31st.
Okay, I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, May 31st.
I was going to come down there tomorrow.
It's really nice. California Adventure.
Yeah. Is that thing popular at all?
It's starting to get more popular.
They're starting to add new attractions
and stuff. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And they just actually, they're doing a big expansion that's going to be done in 2012. It's like $1.6 billion expansion. So they're trying to get more people to go there.
Yeah, because it seemed like it never took off, you know, since they built it, you know. Yeah.
I don't know why that is. At first I thought it was because Californians aren't really hip to attribute to themselves, you know, like California Adventure. But when I go there, actually, I think it's actually pretty nice.
Well, the thing is, the whole concept about it was, and this is what they say, let's put a California theme park so people coming from all over the place will go to California Adventure and see different things in California. Well, why don't you just go to the different things in California? Why do you got to come to the damn park?
That makes sense, because California is a pretty amazing state. Why would you want to see like a jacked up version?
Right.
Like, hey, a this miniature. Is where,
hey, that's a small golden gate. I don't remember that golden gate.
This is a big fake sequoia tree. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not cool.
Yeah. And part of seeing the real Golden Gate Bridge is the possibility that you might see a jumper.
Oh, jeez.
So I don't know how much of that you get at California Adventure.
Yeah, you're missing out on the perks.
You do have jumpers at the hotel. Usually when they see their bill.
That's right.
But not at California Adventure yet.
Yeah. Eric works for Disney, so he knows all these things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very involved.
Can you talk about it?
I don't care. We talk about it. We throw them under the bus at all.
Okay, I was going to say, do we like them or... We like the paycheck, yeah, got it. But, I mean, are they very corporate-y, very hard to work for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very corporate-y.
Met some people that there's so many restrictions and, you know, the way you walk, you can't walk on this side, blah, 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 stuff like that.
It's just very corporate. All the money, all the big people, want all the money, and the shareholders, you know, is greed.
Put it this way, $1.6 billion upgrade to California Adventure, and you guys can't get your medical benefits.
Right. Yeah, that sucks,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys have medical benefits?
We have them now, but they want to take away. We've been in a contract fight for, it's going on 2.5 years to keep our health benefits.
Really?
It's a humongous company.
And we're the last union in the whole Disney resort that still has our free health care. Everybody else has to pay.
Empire, man. Yeah. Stomped them out. They're doing hunger strikes, actually, out there.
We've been doing so many marches and protests and hunger strikes, and
that's bad publicity for them.
It is. But people keep coming.
You need to upgrade your tactics, if I may say. Obviously, your marches aren't working.
No, they're not.
It's not getting it. 2.5 years, that's a lot. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's funny.
Yeah. So now you're involved with Combat in Effect. Why don't you tell us what that is exactly? Because obviously that's where you got the name for the radio show.
What is Combat in Effect?
By the way, he's branded, guys. He's got the brand.
I do.
He's got the man satchel that's branded.
Yeah, it's part of him. It's part of his life.
Indiana Jones carries something like that.
I didn't know about it. I'm looking at it. He's like, look, man, I've got merchandise.
I ran a production company and a management company that was over at Warner Brothers for several years, and we were working with some of the people in the UFC and in the NFL, and it's not like it was rocket science. Just one day, it just hit me that we were all wearing these, and training somewhat through the martial arts community, we're all wearing these other brands, and I just thought, well, we'll get together, huddle up, and start our own brand, and ultimately try and get it to a place where it could help wounded veterans, police, and fire was the goal. So it wasn't necessarily to start an apparel line or do an apparel line. It was really to try and do some good through an apparel line with some of our celebrity contacts in those fields.
Right.
So that's what we did. And then, of course, the standards of LA Talk Radio sunk low enough for us to get a show. and we were able to get on board and do a radio show, too, which has actually been a real privilege. All humor aside, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, you guys do well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are from way back?
Way back. Way back. I mean, you guys have been with us for
a couple studios. A couple studios ago.
Yeah,
that's cool. So kind of the first wave of people, right? I'm like 20 hosts in, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm trying to catch up.
What I hear, you're the best yet.
Oh, I love
that's
you.
What I hear. That's the latest.
That's sweet.
That's what the talk is
in
the lobby.
Didn't hear it from me, though.
Yeah, right. I piss Sam off. I'm surprised I'm still sitting here. Like, sometimes I leave, I'm like, I'm done.
Actually, Eric had a show prior to us doing a show.
Eric was with us almost from the beginning, with Downtown Lounge, when we were still downtown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
when the name Downtown Lounge made sense,
top of the Peter Hastings building.
Remember that one? Yeah. On the 36th floor. It was fun, but it was small. You know,
it's a real testament to you though, Sam. Not only to have a vision for a station such as this, but to keep the drive going and the momentum and keep developing it. I mean, it's an evolutionary process, obviously, but it's now getting to a point where it's really got some special things going on.
Yeah, it's really taken off, and I'm really happy because I never set out to make it like a business or anything. You know, it was like I wanted to have my own radio show, and I thought, you know, I just start a small station and we'll see what happens, you know. And then I realized so many other people wanted to do the same thing, you
right.
know. So and they still do, you know. We still get new shows all the time. So it's been, yeah, it's been a great ride for me, you know. And you know, all my life I try to do different things, you know, businesses. I sort of like let it drop and didn't pursue it and that. And finally, I got something successful, you know. Yeah. So it makes you feel good. You
oh
know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
If you've got a passion for it, it'll generally find its way.
They say
a
if you do what you
conclusion.
Love, you're like never working a day in your life.
That's true.
So
that's true. There you go. Do you love what you're doing?
I love it. That's the problem. I need another paying job too. But I'm like, ah, this is great. Yeah.
Yeah, get a lot of the attention.
Yeah.
There you go.
Love it. Love it. So.
Yeah. I guess today your real guest dropped out, or when? Why are we sitting here?
No, we planned. No, you guys. We planned several guests today.
We were towards the end of the list. I said, well, these idiots have a show at noon anyway, so what if they come in early?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Ethan is so self-deprecating.
I don't. Unfortunately, I don't really know about the show, but so you guys are, help me out a little bit more for our.
Some would say you're better off for not knowing about this.
No, it sounds like it's really fun.
Well, we started off with Ultimate Fighting people on the show, and then we started to get musicians and actors and comedians, and
we've
got all sorts of different guests on the show, and then sometimes me and Ethan just banter for an hour and throw people under the bus.
Yes,
which
we're
is
good at
fun
doing that
too sometimes.
I don't think we actually had the benefit of not really having any sort of unified direction in what we were going to do.
I love it,
anything
yeah.
goes.
Just open, yeah.
So we would get a lot of UFC guys or NFL guys, or you know, everyone from
we've had a lot
of people.
Yeah.
That's really great. So how do you guys meet them? You just send them stuff, or you just run into them, or what?
Well, it started off with people I know and have worked with and I'm friends with. And as you'll hear on some of the earlier shows, you can actually hear me texting or calling people during going in and out of a musical break yeah. to try and say, hey, call my show in 10 minutes. Here's the number. You know?
Do what you got to do, man. That's what you do. Get
so that's usually a lot of our guests, such as the people in The Cult or Iron Maiden or the guys in Predator. I knew them.
Oh, okay. So you're just like, I was kind of a big deal beforehand, no. and I was like, I just called it.
No, I wasn't a big deal, but I mean, it just worked. It actually, it was beneficial because there was certain sort of a friendship there that we could exploit on the radio versus sort of a straightforward, formal, I don't know you well enough, so I'm going to do a very polite, well-structured
interview.
Oh, yeah.
No, I throw all my friends out of the bus.
Same thing. A lot of these guys would call up and they would say, hey, Ethan, you remember that thing? Or Ethan's actually there. Ethan's sober or something. They would go, they'd take a very kind of a friendship approach to it, which seemed to work. I think our audiences.
I think people like real.
Responded to
they
it.
Like real, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are what we are, for worse or even more worse on the show.
Do what you gotta do. So he went to the wine and food expo.
Do you believe this shit?
I'm actually jealous because I like food and wine, so whatever. Anyway, we're over you. Anyway, we're done.
And he actually has the nerve to tell me his high profile.
He's
as if I'm like some sort of embarrassing element.
That's going to bother him all day.
That is good. That's coming up at noon, believe me. That's coming up again.
Where did you go yesterday? Because you had a little fun.
You know, I was actually... I was with my family and a friend of mine from the X-Men movies, Tyler Mayne, the wrestler.
Oh, cool.
We went out to have some margaritas and basically catch up.
Okay, did you guys throw down a lot of margaritas with the family there? I mean, did you cover the kids' eyes or what? How did it go down?
No. I mean, how do I get myself out of this spot I'm in right now? how do I explain it? Well, my daughter's 7, so I would say, you know, it wasn't a Jim Morrison moment for
okay,
me.
Got it.
You know, but we were there for a while.
Okay, good.
And I'm always responsible. I make sure I have either my wife who doesn't drink or a busboy or waitress ready to drive me the 6 blocks to my
that's
house.
That's hysterical. I love that.
You know, and that's so I always try to have an element of responsibility, but for some reason this morning I'm really feeling it. And also maybe because I banged my head getting into my truck this morning.
Oh God.
But I wish I could say I was at some place so sophisticated and magnanimous as California
it's
Adventure at a wine and cheese festival with my
shorts.
Yuppie Disney friends.
How long have you guys known each other?
Too long.
Really?
How long have we known?
It's been a while. My daughter was very young.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is a guy.
Several years.
Mm-hmm. This is a guy. He is a comic, and he's always been. He's always had sort of a comedian element around him.
Too.
Very easy to connect with, and yeah. This is just a guy you can't help but like. Me, on the other hand, I'm the devil.
You're not the devil. What are you talking about?
But he's very likable, so it was easy to form a one-sided friendship where I like him and he slowly resents me more and more throughout the years.
I love a good one-sided friendship. That's awesome.
Yeah. And he works at Disney, and I've had my issues with them.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And how'd you guys meet? Was it like in a comedy club or something?
No, we had
it was of sorts. It was at the Disney Valet in front of the Disneyland Hotel. Right. Quite the comedy club on some days. Wow. Yeah.
There's a guy that I know and Ethan knows named Dale Austin who works there still, and he's a musician.
Yeah.
And
we had hired him actually to do music on a commercial we were producing. Yeah. And that's what led to the introduction.
And Dale said, "Hey, I want you to meet this guy that I know. He works here too. He's a comedian." So we met. And
from day one, we're like, cool. You got to do the screenplay that just roughly is a parody of this place with like the mascots running around in costume, the valets, and just the overall craziness that is Disney. Like, very, where everyone understands it's Disney, but it's never mentioned.
Right.
And 6 years later or so, we have no screenplay. Shows you our conviction.
That's how it goes, though.
That is
how it
goes. One day.
So you do comedy. Do you do the L.A. club circuit? Or?
Yeah, I'm all over.
Yeah, you're all over. You even traveled, right?
Yeah, I just got back from Las Vegas.
Cool.
I was in Vegas for a week, and then I was in Arizona on Monday. And wherever I go, I try to promote the Combat Radio show.
Yeah, that's
and,
cool.
And give away shirts and
now, nice when you when you travel, does the venue pay for you to get there? Or you have to pay your own way?
Well, usually you have to pay your own way. Sometimes if you headline at the clubs, they will fly you out.
Really?
Yeah, if it's a big club.
Your like contracts are getting better with that, though, are they not? I mean, it seems like that now you are starting to get
a better
per diem.
They're giving you more money to travel, yeah.
Aren't you supposed to kind of like factor that in? I mean, if they say they cover travel, don't they give you kind of like a budget or something there, or you up your fee or something like that?
Yeah, well, they'll tell me this is how much we're going to pay you, and then I have to figure out if it's going to work for me or not.
Oh,
and if
okay.
it doesn't, then I'll be like,
do you
no,
go back
I'm
with
sorry.
A counter offer or anything like that, or you just say yes or no?
Sometimes you go back with counter offer. Usually they won't take
back
a counter offer. They're like, you take it or leave it. So
let me ask you this: so when you went with your yuppie buddies over to California Adventure, was travel included for that wine and cheese
That's
festival?
Funny.
Well, actually, I worked yesterday. So actually, I just had to walk a couple of feet and
it
so went
where,
right
where
in.
Do you, so you work at Disney? What do you do at Disney?
I'm a bell captain at the hotel.
What the heck's a bell captain?
It's a bellman, basically. What's I'm in it? Charge of the bellman.
What is a bell? What's bell?
I mean, they bring bags up to the room.
You know, you ring
oh,
the bell.
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Okay, so you're doing that, but you're doing the comedy thing. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were like...
Some would say a lot of his comedy comes from that job, actually.
I talk a little bit about it, but it's kind of hard when you go to Vegas, you start talking about Disneyland, and people are like, what the hell are you talking about Disneyland for? So I usually stick to the Disneyland stuff when I do Southern California shows. But when I travel,
let's hear it. What is some of the Disney stuff out of your act, if I may?
That's all right.
Yeah. No, come on.
It's hard to do when you're not doing an act, you know, to just come up with.
You have to.
I've got some Disney.
You have
stuff.
To buy a ticket to the show.
That's good.
See, I'm not even on the list for free tickets. Do you believe this?
Well, you know what? Whenever I do like John Lovett's club, I get free tickets.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
You know,
you did.
Anybody
right.
can get free tickets.
Right.
When I do the improv shows, when I headline improv. They usually let me bring in a guest as well for free. So
yeah,
we usually try to promote that on the show as much as possible.
But, yeah,
and on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So do you have any appearances coming up that you want to plug or anything?
No, I actually don't. I like I said, I just did Vegas. I did Arizona, and I'm booked for Vegas again, but that's not until September. But I'm trying to get some same.
Can you say it?
The Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. They called me a week after I was there, and they're like, they want you back.
Really?
I was like, I was just there. And he's like, I know. It's this guy from, he was on The Sopranos. He's in this entertainment agency. He calls me up, hey, Eric, they want you back. I'm like, where do they want me back? They want you back at the Riviera. I'm like, oh, okay. He doesn't even know. He's like, when were you last there? I go, last week. He goes, oh, what the fuck? Okay.
Which
about
guy
September?
Is it?
His name's Steve Schrippel. I don't know if I should have gave that name out, but Steve Schrippel.
Steve
it's
Schrippel,
out there
go,
now,
go,
man.
Go, go, go.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned Arizona. I wanted to bring up the fact that, did you hear that L.A. is boycotting Arizona businesses now? Did you hear
really?
That?
Is it over the new immigration bill?
Yeah, because of that. So the city council has voted to boycott Arizona. I mean, you know, what is this?
Well, I wish they would have checked with the voters before they do the something.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, I don't understand the ramifications of the bill.
And they're punishing businesses, you know. They're not punishing the state.
Sure.
You know. And apparently California does a lot of business with Arizona. And
this is a city of L.A. or the
yeah,
state?
Yeah, the city of L.A. It's the city of L.A., the city council.
Can they do that? I mean...
I guess they could, but it's just pathetic, I think.
You can't force other people not to do business with them, right?
Well, I don't know.
Isn't that like you're forcing your what you deem to be appropriate onto other businesses and now they can't? I mean,
yeah, but that's a government agency. They probably get away with a lot of shit,
you
know?
That's weird.
I would need to read more about the bill itself before I actually weigh in on it.
That's why a lot of people are pissed off in Arizona because everybody's boycotting
because you're in a desert
of Arizona. So now the economy in Arizona is going to go down because everybody's boycotting them and not going to Phoenix and Tucson for vacations.
You know, I actually talked to a friend of mine at the NFL Network who told me that the NFL had a great role in actually getting them to embrace the Martin Luther King holiday, which they did not do in that state for a long time. And the NFL actually told them, you will never have a Super Bowl while that is not a holiday. And they made it a holiday, and then they got a Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
And he actually says that the economics behind the NFL doing that, which is billions of dollars, obviously, persuaded them to write that holiday in the book. Why it wasn't on the books,
right?
I mean, maybe the civil rights movement, you know, moved around Arizona, but I don't know why it wasn't on the books, but the NFL obviously had some sort of involvement in actually getting them to embrace it.
Makes a lot of sense, considering that most... You know, athletes are African-American. So.
But you know that I read that about 60-70% of people in the country approve of that immigration law that they have in Arizona.
I don't know what it covers, and I'm uncomfortable talking about politics unless I've really researched it. So I'll leave this one to you. Do you have an opinion on it?
No, I'm not quite sure what the bill says.
Yeah. I mean, do I still get to stay in the state?
It just allows, you know, the police, it gives them the authority to ask you for... you know, for papers to see whether you're legal or not.
Right.
But they're not going to just stop you in the street. This is if they're stopping you for something else, then they can ask you for that, you know. And they're trying to really do something. I mean, it's not necessarily the best solution, but what they're trying to do is, since the federal government is not doing anything, they figure that they're going to take a step, you know.
Right.
Whether it's right or not, I don't know. But I think it's just like a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that, you know, they're bombarded with all these illegals and they don't know what to do about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, but...
Apparently it's the crime-related stuff, too. It's not like the people selling oranges and the maids and the nannies that they're stressed out about. It's the, like, the cartel and, you know, I don't know. We don't live there, but I've heard from people that do, that the people that live 60 miles from the border can't leave their homes. They come back, it's occupied. It's kind of like that bad down there. So... I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, part of it sounds a little bit creepy to me, and then part of it's like, well, I could see the need. You know, trying to identify with the need and going, well, you know, one of the primary jobs of the government is to protect the country and its borders. And if they're not doing their job, then you kind of leave it to the hands of the state.
Right.
So.
I would have to experience it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, that's honest.
I have an ethnically diversified family I come from, so I would have to. I would have to kind of go through the motion. No, they're not illegal, but
that's what it's about. It's
you
not
do
about
experience
immigrants.
Things in different ways that you would not really think of. Me being an Anglo-Saxon, growing up in Southern California, but you do see some things that you know you would not believe
unless
at
you
times.
Have that kind of background.
So I would have to be. I'd really like to actually before I'm either for or against, and I'm not really in favor of everyone just jumping the walls and coming to America through without going through the proper procedure necessarily, but I'd like to really experience what the policy is firsthand, like someone, you know, to walk me through what's going to happen.
Right.
And then walk me through also, if you would, what other options were open to the state besides this particular policy, and then that's when I usually weigh in on something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to kind of go through the experience of it before I say it's good or bad.
Right. So you both are married, right? You both have families and everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Eric, you're newlywed pretty much, right?
Yeah.
It's been like, what, a year now?
Yeah, it's going to be 2 years in July.
2 years.
July 13th.
Oh,
yeah.
2 years. Wow.
Seems like just a few days ago, man.
Yeah, it does.
I actually did get that invite.
Yeah.
He needed another gift. He said, Ethan, you got to bring a blender, but you can come down.
You can come down.
The wedding. And that was actually a beautiful ceremony at Dove Canyon. Real nice wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's Dove Canyon?
It's in Cota de Casa. Which is by Mission Viejo,
Capistrano,
Southern Orange County.
Right.
Southern Orange County.
Sounds good.
We were at a table, actually. There was, I don't know, 10 of us, and there was a couple there that they were fighting. So the woman sits in between me and another friend.
It wasn't fighting. And, it wasn't fighting. No,
she was
this
supposed
is...
to sit with her date. But
No, that's not it. That's
so
not
I go, look, I can move. And she's like, no, I'm good here. You can stay. You guys can all sit where you're sitting. Nobody move. You know, to kind of wall him out.
It was a couple that weren't together anymore.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love
and you. I said, I'm going to seat you two at the same table. And they said, oh, that's fine. We're totally cool with each other. It's no problem.
Crap,
they were still talking
crap.
And friends. And yeah, and I, you know, split them up. And
it was comedy.
Like, no, we should be sitting together. And the one girl's like, no, I'm fine right here. And he's like, what are you talking about?
Turns out this was the best man, and he gave a pretty funny speech. But it was an entertaining wedding, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Congratulations, by the way.
So things are still going good for you?
Oh, yeah, things are going great.
Did you meet her on the internet? How did it go down?
No, I knew her for 9 years. I worked with her.
She was a lifeguard.
She was a lifeguard there.
And Baywatch style.
I love it.
She quit. She went to school. Then she came back to the new hotel as a bell girl. Was there for a couple years. And then she quit again, and I just ran into her, and she said, "He's still doing comedy." I said, "Yeah," and invited her to a show, and she came. Mm-hmm. That was it. From that point on, we started dating.
That's cool.
Well, nothing can provide as much comedy as a marriage, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you actually have had to use your comic wit, as we all have, to try and navigate certain spots. But it's a real nice lady. Very, very, very good couple over here.
Yeah. So, Ethan, what do you do, like, with your time and stuff like that?
Well, if... you know, if I'm, like I said, if I'm not in an AA meeting or in prison, I try to remain constructive. I try to be a good dad. I was volunteering at my kid's school this morning.
Yeah.
And I run a production and management company, and I don't want to bore anyone with the details, but I've got that situation going on, plus our apparel line that's ultimately designed to help military vets. I've got that going on. And then this radio show that we do at noon.
That's cool. Were you in the military, too?
No, I wasn't. My
you
family
weren't.
Was. A lot of my
oh,
family
I see.
Was. My
okay.
grandfather was at Guadalcanal, and it haunts him to this day, although he'll never say it.
Really?
Yeah. And my my father was in the Navy. My my cousin was in Vietnam, and he had a very rough time of it. And the reality was is actually we had a friend come back from Afghanistan. He was burned over 70% of his body, and he could not get a job. And the stipend the government gave him lasted less than a year. And my perspective on it was, this is one of several thousand wounded veterans coming home. Mm. The problem is bigger than I realized. And a lot of people are good at supporting the troops, and a lot of people just say support the troops. And you know, it's funny because here I am, the lone Democrat, trying to rustle up, and the first people I turn to are my really good, you know, Republican investment buddies, and they knew what they were getting into when they signed up, and I'm the one guy trying to marshal some sort of respect for him, because I realized that my friend was one in thousands. So we started this, martial arts was something we were into. We knew the people, we were practicing it ourselves. And we start an apparel line, hopefully, to help them out.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. So, I mean, I have to govern that. And then I just
that
deal with the day-to-day insanity.
Yeah.
It's a little bit... Well, you know, I also make a point to be a father. My family's a blast. Mm-hmm. I'm very privileged.
Yeah.
So I'm not an absentee dad. I love hanging around my daughter. She's
aww.
My best friend.
Yeah.
And so I actually, I'm more busy than people realize because I'm always determined to try and have dinner with my family.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think it is, especially in this society. It's like, sometimes you're like, does anybody care about family?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just seems like there's such an erosion on the family, and that it's this, people move here for careers. They're not really, they're not family seekers, they're career seekers. And as with myself, that was the reason. I wasn't like, hey, where can I meet a good man? Let me go to Southern California.
Well, you mentioned the internet. How's that working out for you?
You know what? I did it about a year ago, and I was telling Sam I periodically get like the free trial thing. They'll be like, hey, come back and check it out on us. And I'll be like, okay, let's see what the inventory is.
How's it?
It's good material.
Yeah,
you
really?
Know what I mean? It's good material. I haven't met the one, but I think that there's probably several different, you know, things you can do. But I'm having a blast. I've gone on, like, amazing fun time dates. One of my first dates with a guy was a Chelsea Handler concert and, you know, at the amphitheater and having a really, really good time with that. And, you know, but it's different. My situation's a little different, so.
different.
Different as in, like, everybody's heard it. They're tired of hearing it. They don't want to hear about it anymore.
Well, we're new to it. What is the situation?
So, you know, I'm
What can you say about yourself real quick where dating is concerned? Yeah, we've got a very, very interesting fan base. You might get some calls later.
No, I mean, I enjoy going out with people. I like the experience of it. And if I meet the right guy, great. But, I mean, I'm not, like, looking to, like, hook up and all that stuff. And I live in, like, a town that's, like, hookup central. Right. Do you know what I'm saying? So there's a big clash there. So it's just different. You know, you got to kind of learn how to, like, maneuver through it and the whole guardedness of it and have fun still.
I actually was, for Mother's Day, I ended up at the Lux Hotel for brunch with my family and some of my in-laws. And there was a couple tables over. Somehow there was a... What is it? An eHarmony date.
Oh, can
and the only
you
reason
tell?
Yeah, I could tell.
You could tell.
Well,
did you
I could tell because she announced it. The first thing she said is, "How's this eHarmony thing working out for you?" And immediately the guy was on the spot, like his head was on a swivel, like you know, not that there's anything to worry about, but he was clearly, you know, a little bit nervous about that being announced.
You don't want to. The one thing I learned is, like, "Hey, nice to meet you." Never say it out loud.
Yeah.
Hey, nice to meet
you. How's it working out for you?
Don't say stuff like that. Yeah. I don't do it all. I do it when they, like, it comes around, like, every 3 months. They'll be like, hey, come back on us. I'll be like, okay, sure. Yeah. And that's fun. But it's fun. I mean, it's just another venue. I mean, like, you go to a bar, or you do things in life, and you meet people.
We're good at that.
Yeah, the bar thing's fun. Yeah. But no, I don't think the bar. Well, I think the bar. No, I don't think it's a good place to meet people.
Oh, I do. I see. I'm against that because everyone goes to them.
No, it's not that it makes you bad. Yeah. It's just I think it's kind of a. I don't know. I don't know the bar scene. I don't know if it's like an accurate way to meet a person, like an accurate representation of who they are.
I think wherever it happens to go down, bar or otherwise, it's good. It's if it's. You know, if it's something.
I don't think you're going to meet a winner at a bar.
Hey, why would you say that? You know how many bars I've been in, and I always consider myself a winner.
Well,
why would you say that?
You know.
Why would you say
like,
that?
Like, I don't know.
You're married.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I will go to a bar on a date, but I don't think I want to, like, randomly be sitting there with the guy that's staring at the TV, and his eyes are red, and he's like...
Well, you're painting a very interesting picture of a certain kind of guy in a certain kind of place.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much accurate, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking like, oh, you're out with
friends. That's Kara. She puts things in boxes. And,
whatever, Sam. Anyway.
You put things in boxes?
According to him, because I don't know. I like to use words like right and wrong. That stresses him out. Anyway, but everything's relative over here. I believe in...
No,
some,
but I mean, but you made a generalization about
and
a
I
guy.
Did for humor purposes,
okay.
but there's some truth in it.
I guess
and
didn't
this
get
dude's
the joke.
Rocking his head, yeah, like, he gets it. He's like, yeah, I wouldn't do the bar thing. Not because they're all nasty, scuzzy people. He's saying, look, I go there all the time. I'm a winner. But I'm just saying, probability speaking, right? Probability. No, is it still bad?
You know, Well, I'm not the host of the show, and you
whatever,
may not want to even go down this road, but I don't have any problem with it. I mean, I know I'd be hard pressed to find anybody who has not at one point gone out to happy hour, gone out to a nightclub to have fun, and they're all pretty great. I mean, I don't know anyone who's never done that. In fact, if you were to point someone out who said, "I don't go to bars or go to nightclubs," that person I might be a little bit suspicious of, but I know everyone that goes to these places, and most of them are okay people.
Listen,
they just happen to be in a venue that where things can go to the next level if they chose, and that can kind of sometimes reflect poorly on a person if they chose.
It's not that going there makes you by default crunchy or anything like that.
Crunchy. Oh, man, that's such a nasty adjective for it.
It is. It doesn't make you like a crunchy person. I'm just saying if you're going to a bar to meet somebody – I think that attracts something different. Like, what you're talking about is like, hey, going and having fun with your friends. And, like, people, that's what we do, right?
Well, you know, I like to meet people. I mean, I go out on almost every holiday, too. Usually now with my family. And
okay.
It's a different
you're
sort
single,
of going out.
You're single. The kid doesn't exist. The wife doesn't exist. You go to the bar. You're on a mission.
Well, I've never been on that mission, per se. But I will go to, like, say, I'll go out to the cantina on Cinco de Mayo. And if I meet someone who's fun, I would certainly not rule out dating them. And I would not look bad upon it if I met them at the cantina on Cinco de Mayo. I'd say, hey. Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo. Everybody does it. Yeah. Okay.
Or not Cinco. Or Friday night. If I'm looking at my watch saying, what the fuck? Oh, you know, let's go see this band.
Okay, you're still not getting it because you're saying you just happen to meet them. Like, and you're like, yeah.
Well, isn't that how it normally happens?
Yeah, but I'm talking about there's people on a mission. They're like, I've got to meet the person. I'm going to go out there with a mission to meet somebody. And I think that attracts something different.
Well, now they've got online dating available for people like that. They can work the social networks.
I'm just telling you. What do you think? What do you think?
He's with you. I can tell you he's with you.
I think if you go to a club or a bar looking to pick up somebody, you're not going to find a relationship. You're just looking for a one-night stand.
Unless it's a comedy club and Eric's performing. And then maybe everyone should show up for a great
time. Well,
that's
something different.
Yeah, something.
No, no.
Yeah.
That actually just happened recently. I had to tell the front desk to...
Really?
Not give my name. Oh, this...
That's because you told me there'd be tickets there. What's the fucking problem? Why do I keep rehashing
this? I did this show in New Mexico, and these girls came up to me after the show, and they're like,
we want to go to your room. And I'm like, no.
People do that still?
Really? Oh, yeah. And then I go to my room, and all of a sudden I hear this knock on the door.
Wow.
And I look in the keyhole, and it's the two girls. They really? Followed me in my fucking room.
You actually had you were staying in a room, and you had a keyhole you can look through?
I had a keyhole to look through. I'm like, what the hell? I opened the door, and she's like, hey, you want a party? I go, how'd you get to my room? Oh, we saw you walking down. We saw
so how'd you defuse it?
So I said, no, I think I got to get up early. You know, I'm sorry. I got to go back.
Did you open the door this whole time, or are you talking through the hole?
No, I opened the door a little bit.
Oh, okay, with the chain still attached? Okay.
So I closed the door, and I called the front desk, and I said, listen, this is Eric McEnroth, and room whatever. And I said, please do not give my room number out to anybody. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that, Mr. McEnroth. I go, because there's these two girls that followed me to my room. What? Oh, okay. I said, yeah, please do not give anybody my room number, please.
Most men would not complain about that.
You know, it's... But you know, you learn, like, yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't do
No, but
shit.
I know you're right. People that are on a mission, they don't care. But I'm just like, if something got out, and even though you're not even a guilty party, and it looked suspicious, and the wife saw it, that could be just even another unnecessary
no,
argument.
No, she totally, I
she
trust her 100%.
Yeah,
she totally trusts
me. She wouldn't
me
be like, what the fuck are these girls knocking at your door?
They've got a real relationship there.
That's the thing about me and my wife. She said to me, like, the other day, she's like, you know, I really want to go to Australia. I'm like, go. I'm like, go ahead, go.
Really?
She's that's like, I want to be there for a week with my friend. And I said, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, why not?
She goes, what do you think? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Have
Australia's
a good time.
Because
I totally 100% trust her.
Yeah, if you totally can't trust them in that way, you don't want to
She has not given me any, not even an inkling of, oh, I don't know, I think she's lying to me or anything. Not at all. My wife is so laid back, and we love each other, and we totally trust each other. I mean, I go to Vegas for a week to perform.
Right,
you know? I mean,
right.
If you don't trust me, you know.
Yeah, what are you saying about Vegas?
Like, well, you know, I don't want to say.
Hey, who was the valet at the Disneyland Hotel who had to stay overnight for an early shift and got caught calling up the hooker? Whose pimp tried to break the door down with a gun.
Really?
Oh, hilarious.
Kid named Rue.
How come we don't work that into your act?
His name's Rue?
It was named Rue.
There
R-U.
You go.
I should Rue. Say, wow, that's you know. So this really happened? This dude stayed the night and he called up a...
Yeah, well, he worked the night shift. He was off at around 11 or 12. And I guess the morning guy called out and they said, hey, do you want to work the morning shift? He's like, well, that's like 6 hours away. And they said, well, we'll have you stay here. We'll put you in a room here. And he's like, okay, you can sleep here for the night and wake up, shower, and work the morning shift. Okay, sure. So they put him up in a room, and he called a hooker, and the hooker came, and he changed his mind. He's like, I changed my mind. I don't want it. And she called her pimp, and the pimp came to the Disneyland Hotel and knocked on the door with his gun.
Whoa.
Knocked on the door. Hey, mother ever, you know, You already said you got to pay me, blah, blah, blah. People were coming out of their rooms. Get back in your room. Showing his gun. Get back in your effing room.
You this know? Is where in Vegas? Or no.
No, here. Disneyland Hotel.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, wow. Beautiful Anaheim.
Kids in the room and everything. Oh, that was a mess. Oh, police, God. Anaheim PD.
How do you think his wife reacted to that?
He wasn't married.
No.
What do you did he keep his job after that or no?
No, that's
like,
that's grounds
sorry.
For termination.
There's a so many.
When a pimp comes to your door with gun out, it's pretty safe to say you're beyond the point of a write-up.
There's another guy who was taking a guest to LAX in the company car, and on the company, this particular company car, it's a Disneyland hotel on the side of the company car on both sides on the door. One night he took a guest to LAX. He never came back.
Really?
And they found him the next morning. Passed out with a hooker in the seat with cocaine and marijuana in the car with his uniform on.
Whoa.
Some parking lot now in Hollywood.
How are those medical benefits looking?
Oh, man.
I'm surprised you haven't
Hey, if you're
going to
go out, you go out. If you're going to get fired.
I guess on your last day, you might as well go big, right?
Yeah, there you
I
go.
I mean, wait, really good screening process they're doing with this employment, right?
Oh, well, to see the...
I thought it was so strict that they would, you know.
It used to be strict.
It's interesting you say that, because when you do things like they're doing to this particular group, strip mother medical benefits, hold them at a minimum wage, you are going to get people less inclined to perform
admirably.
Definitely.
That's true, yeah.
So you're actually creating an environment where it looks good to the stockholder, but if people are just basically finding however ways to passive-aggressively stick their middle finger up at the company, like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the van for a spin. F you. I'm going to go out and do blow in my uniform or maybe call a hooker.
Gosh.
That's the problem.
They don't value their job because they're treated like shit.
The money is so bad that they start them out that we don't get a good clientele of people that want to, that want to work at Disney because the money's so bad.
Really,
it's so bad. So then, they hire these people who, you know, for I don't want to stereotype, but they're just not good people. They're just, you know, they're pretty bad, and they don't give a crap about their job. You know, and why work so hard when you're getting paid $8 an hour or $7.75 an hour? Why give 110% when you're not making crap?
It's no longer a startup company either. They've got the resources to really take care of their people if they chose. They can no longer plead that they're broke or building it up. I mean, they just did a multi-million dollar refab on the driveway in the hotel itself. The medical benefits were in that budget somewhere. They actually had a lawsuit with the carpenters over at Grand California. The whole thing is just becoming sort of it seems like it's a startup company, and they're trying to actually get things financial momentum going to settle all these situations, but they're not. They're just basically trying to get cheap on a lot of people that you should take care of. Because honestly, when you're there, and you go to the hotel, and I've experienced this, the first people you interact with is the front of the house staff. And when they're paid $8 an hour or whatever it is and shit on, they're going to translate that to you.
Right.
And I've had my moments with those people where I cannot believe, you know, some of the middle management behaves the way they do. And part of it, I think part of it is because they just don't care about their jobs, and the company in turn doesn't care about them. And it's just a big, you know, this is where I'm spending my Tuesday kind of attitude.
Yeah. Mm.
They know that the people are always going to come back no matter what.
To a point.
Because of the Disney name.
To a point.
No, I've seen guests complain, I'm never going to be here again. You know, I've been there 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen guests, I'm never going to come back again. 3 months later, I'm like, wait a minute, that looks like the guest who said he was never going to come back again.
Well, that was a special set of circumstances for me, Eric, and how dare you kick me under the bus like that.
I read an article that said that Bob Iger is one of the highest paid CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be a highly paid CEO if the people in the company structure are taken care of, but you cannot run a business for long, even on an automatic marquee moniker like Disney. If you're going to treat people like shit, you know, people forget, you know, 2 decades ago, that company was going under Miller.
Right.
Before Eisner took over, and then Eisner did a lot of stupid shit, and he got himself angled, but
that's it. And it Iger was going under. Turned it around, right?
Iger came in and sort of tried to put the goodwill back in place, but I mean, it can, in a down economy particularly, the company can get dismantled, and to have the mentality that you're indestructible is the first step towards getting yourself sunk, I think, personally.
You're right.
You know, absolutely. And there are people like that. Eric's right, people that come back, but maybe once or twice. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're gonna continuously get shit on, then eventually, you know, you go on a radio show such as this, and you serve it up hot, baby, and you say these fascists down there with their pimps banging on the doors and their crew taking the vehicle out doing blow, you know, and people start to take notice and say, you know, fuck that company. They won't give these guys their... You're entitled to medical benefits.
The company
produces $1 billion fucking profit quarterly.
Sure. But like you, and I hate to use you.
No, you don't.
Now, here's the thing. You talk bad about, you know, you say these things about Disney, but you have a daughter that likes Disney.
Yeah.
Are you going to go there tomorrow and I'm going to sign you into the park?
Way to kick me under the bus. Well, you know what? I
See,
am, but here's
why.
And
that's the people
but
that I'm talking about.
Here's what I did. I had a problem with a middle manager there who was incompetent, and his problem was I was a guest he could identify because I was there so much. My daughter and I would go there regularly. I have executive producers who live in the area.
Yeah.
So I'd sometimes be there 3 nights a week for dinner. And my truck says Combat and Effect on it, which is a military charity technically, but because it's recognizable, he kept saying, who is this guy? Because the valets would say sometimes leave it on the driveway or park it. Uh-huh. And the reality was they were doing it because they had some sort of hospitality ethic, and they knew who I was. So they said, hey, Ethan, yeah, no problem. I'll leave it over here for you. I know you're just going in for a 45-minute dinner.
Yeah.
Well, he thought it was a threat to his seniority and his control, and he was one of those personalities where... And we know the personality type, although we won't know the psychological diagnosis of it, but the guy who's threatened by things like that, he's like, what's this truck doing here? And they're like, well, that's Ethan. Well, who's Ethan? I don't know Ethan. Who's, You know, and so I had this
it's
problem
like control
with
control power type stuff.
Yeah, so he yeah. actually at one point Bullshit. Was he came looking for me. So I actually in turn got wind of that and went looking for him.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
Like, what's the situation?
I wouldn't. I mean, you know, you got that vibe too, where I wouldn't want to jack.
Well,
don't want to jack too much with this guy.
I have my moments, and Eric will testify. I can go to DEF CON 1 fairly quickly in a bad situation. Although I'm never one to start it, I like to think. So I start looking for him.
So you look for him because you feel like he's looking for you.
Well, he went home, and I'm like, well, that's bullshit that he went home and he told you he was looking for me. I'm right fucking here. And the next day, you know, I'm there, and another middle manager impounds my keys, which they're lucky they weren't slapped with a theft charge because you can't remove my keys from the property.
They impound the keys?
They basically took my keys from the valet booth. Well, so what I did was I got all the receipts together that I could pull together. I called my accountant. I had all the receipts on hand. I said, give me everything Disney. I couldn't get everything. I've been living in Southern California my whole life. I've been going there my whole life. But I said, just get me everything for the last few years. I've been going there regularly since my daughter was born. I've probably spent over 40 nights in that hotel. And I said, give me all the receipts. Give me everything you got. I put it in a big stack, and I went down, and I saw the resort general manager, Terry Fern. I said, listen, I just want you to know you got a lot of gypsies and a lot of guys that want something for free. I've never asked for anything for free, but here's $52,000 in Disney expenditures, and your
wow.
asshole middle manager out front is giving me grief over where my fucking car is parked by your staff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what? You know, he's like, I don't understand this. Well, you know, I said, my wife, my family, they're uncomfortable coming here now. The people I do business with don't want to meet me here now. I'm on the radio. I'm ready to tell 2.5 million listeners of Sam, you know, Sam's show in the morning, what a bunch of fascists you've all become. And then, of course, he understood in his position that hospitality is what runs the business.
Hello.
And generates more business.
Yeah.
And he got to a point where he was like, presented with this, was a little bit upset. So I'm going there tomorrow because he squashed my situation.
Yeah.
He solved it because he got what the junior little management drone didn't understand.
Yeah.
Which is if you're going to be rude to a guy who's coming into your reception to spend money, you're counterproductive to your business.
I'm sorry, 52 grand, and then you're telling me that he took your keys. Who takes somebody's keys? How can they do that?
And it was a manager I didn't know. And when I went looking for her, she was gone too. And another manager said, I don't understand what's going on with this.
Why would they take your keys when somebody else parked your car
there?
Well,
see, nobody got it. Nobody got it. Eric's too gracious to get into it because he's employed there.
And
he's always been very he's always been very good about getting involved.
Do you understand how somebody can take
It's the bottom line of the damn manager has nothing better, you know, else better to do.
Exactly.
He should be downstairs doing his work. He should be helping out, not causing problems. Back in the day when I was a valet, we would keep cars up on the drive if they were going out to dinner. Why? Because we're going to get tipped by the person who's going to come out right. and leave the car on the drive. And there was no problems whatsoever. We were in charge of the drive.
And it's
but
super
these middlemen,
great.
these managers that have nothing better else to do.
They're not properly schooled in hospitality.
They're just,
you know, they should all do a tour of duty in Vegas and see what hospitality is really about and
really?
See what really runs the business. And incidentally, this manager who took my keys was later written up for letting a staff member on duty, the only one at his station in front of the house as a valet, run a personal errand of dropping her brother off at a fucking pub on St. Patrick's Day. So she doesn't know shit about business because she's doing that crap.
Yeah.
That's another
all right, guys, we're all out of time.
Oh, I'm really, I have to apologize for actually boring your audience.
No,
no,
it's okay. You're passionate, and that's important. Ethan, do you have a website people can go to?
Yes,
or?
And I'm just going to say real quickly, your audience just about got the real show.
We were
just moments
it.
Away from me going off the over
I'm
the edge.
I'm tuning in, man. I'm tuning in. I feel privileged. I'm getting to see the feeling the heat.
Oh, man, I was ready to flip the table over. But no, yes, please, you can actually check us out, Combat Radio on Facebook, if you're gracious enough to find what you heard here today somewhat entertaining. CombatInEffect.com, CombatInEffect.com to help us out with the our quest to aid veterans, and you can also look me up at arsenalpm.net, arsenalproductionsandmanagement.net.
Sounds good. Eric?
Thank you for that.
And do you have a website, Eric?
Yeah, just go to ericmcenroth.com, and I believe there is a link on the Combat Radio page.
Sounds good.
So go there.
Sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Always a lot
Thanks,
of fun.
Guys.
Don't forget to catch them at 12 on Channel 2 today. And that's it. Kira, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. I'll see you tomorrow.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Daily to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.